never get fucking tired of that movie.
No, hold on. Hold up. Hot.
Hot. Oh. Damn.
Alrighty. Welcome to the program, everybody. It's the Time Spent Poorly show with your host, the guy that's not on camera. Now I am. Hello, I'm Eduardo. Right here, and also joining me today, as always, old Huds himself right over there, and Brother Ron. Thanks again for joining me, fellas. We're here. We've got a great show today. Guess I better get this on my other ear.
Oh, yeah, that's important. Yeah, yeah. You can't hear yourself if you can't.
Yeah, I felt kind of like an out-of-body experience, but if you've got a drink, like I do.
It looks great on yours. We have all kinds of nonsense.
I wonder if I'm going to get sponsored for this, but yeah.
All kinds of nonsense? Oh. You got it fixed over there?
Yeah.
Sponsors? I worked for a minute to get a Weinhardt.
Neon light.
Oh.
But I think I just emailed the bot because I couldn't actually get anywhere.
Oh, yeah. With it. I call her Tina. Every time I get a bot, I just call her Tina.
Oh, man.
The female version of me. Christopher, Christina, Tina. I break it down.
Well, welcome to the show. If this is first time joining us, you can find all of our episodes, all of our content over at timespentpoorly.com. That is the website to go to get everything. You can subscribe to all of our different social networks over there, the YouTube, the Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're trying to blow up and become hugely successful.
I don't want to work for a living. I want my kids to be like Will Smith rich.
Yeah.
So fucking do it, people.
Andrew K. Woo!
What's up, Jake Matthews?
Jake Matthews. Wait, hey, Jake. Thanks Matthews, for joining us.
Are you, Jake, message, are you or are you not related to Corey Matthews? Do I know you?
You probably know Jake.
He meant Dave Matthews. Are you
related to
Dave Matthews?
No. If it's who I'm thinking of, his big brother is like one of genuinely my best friends, and I love Jake to death, and I literally haven't seen him in like a fucking decade, man.
That's a minute.
Yeah, it's yeah. I partied before I became a dad, so you know, you meet people.
Yeah, you do. You meet a folk or two. So how's your 2 weeks been? It seems like every time we meet, it's every 2 weeks. So.
Yeah.
How has it been?
It's been interesting. I went over to Montana, saw my grandma over I turned 41 in the intro.
That's right. I sent you a nasty message about being like a little 41-year-old bitch boy or something.
Yeah. So,
oh no, I just said happy birthday, motherfucker.
He said, yeah.
Oh, Jake, I love you. Hi.
You just thought that other one.
No. Cause you're a year and a few months older than I am.
I was going to say, when you're that close, you can't. Yeah.
I'm just jelly because I'm not a 40-year-old bitch boy anymore.
Jake Matthews says, good to see you via internet, but yeah, man, it's been over a decade or so.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time.
Well, you guys are going to have to catch up.
Hit me up on Facebook.
Kiss on the lips.
Send each other dick pics.
All right. So, I have a little story to tell.
Good, good, good.
Yes. My wife went and she took her. This is the part of this program where before, as we're warming up, where we kind of work into the material, folks. If you're watching or listening, this is where we kind of like give updates on our personal goings on. If you want,
right?
If you have anything,
this
to
is
talk
the
about.
Part you fast forward through. Yeah,
I've got it. Yeah, I've got a that's 2 minute.
Little,
hit
that's
for
what
this
that
too.
Little. That's what that little 15-second hook thing is on the side. So just. Just zip until you hear us saying DC Universe.
I don't give a fuck about your marriage, Ward. Talk about Cobra Kai.
I want to know what happened to Danny LaRusso.
But anyway, I'm sorry. Your wife continues.
Stabbing the Psy into the floor.
She took the car to get the oil change the other day. And we bought the car earlier this year. So they owed us they threw in like three free oil changes. Should have been oil changes for life, in my opinion. But
yeah.
But
free maintenance.
We got Matt Warner.
That's my nephew right there.
That's my son. Hey. Hi, son.
He came out of the nuts right next to me.
That
Hey-o.
Is a thing that both of my kids are listening. So hi guys. Annabelle, you're 4 and I love you very much.
Mars is on too. I'm sure.
I miss you already.
But anyway, we've got a young demo. Yeah. So she took it in and they come out and we've been through this. Next,
10 things you didn't know about Paw Patrol. where did you buy your car? If I can ask that without blowing up somebody on
Honda.
Okay. Honda. Okay. Troy or Mick McClure Honda, right?
Yeah.
Not Troy McClure Honda.
No, it's whatever this one.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. Bell's not.
Oh. Bummer. Okay. Well, she won't get anything out of this anyway, but you will. So I love you. But anyway, so you went to Honda to get the oil changed.
So we went to Honda to get the oil changed. And in doing so, they bring out this thing, and all dealerships do this. This isn't like uncommon for a dealership to do, but they're like, or they didn't bring anything out. They're like, hey, your cabin filter's dirty on your car. And so would you like us to change it? It'll be $65.
No.
And she sent me a text and I was like, tell them no. And after I hit that, I'm like, I Google how much the cabin filter is.
It's like a $3 part.
It's $20.
Okay.
So it would have been $45 in labor to squeeze the side of the jockey box, pull the whole jockey box down, unclip the thing, pull out the filter. I did it already. It's done. But she goes, because we've done this before too, where they tell you something and it's not really an issue. Mm-hmm. So she's like, well, show me. So they went through the whole labor process of taking the filter out, showing her the dirty filter. This? Yes.
That's fucking great.
She made them show her the filter. They brought in the filter. She's like, yeah, okay, you can put it back in. My husband's going to do it.
I admire your wife.
Your wife wears her ovaries on the outside.
Sometimes it's really impressive.
And she's like, so she calls me. She's like, yeah, it's dirty. I'll pick up one on the way home. I'm like, okay.
So it's not something you could have vacuumed out and used for 6 more months?
Maybe.
Yeah. I always feel that way about stuff in cars. Like, we just throw shit away too quick. Like, maybe you could keep two, dig it out of the trash.
Yeah. You know how many times I spray out my, the filter I have for my like shop vac?
Uh huh.
I hose that fucker out like probably 25 times before I put a new one in.
But they're designed to be done, you know, that I don't know that the filters in the car.
I could probably use some duster spray.
It says Mike is muted. Is that the computer's mic on this end?
You are not muted.
Okay. I just noticed that at the top of our video.
Well, the audio that we're feeding through is coming from my computer.
Got it.
And if I turned your mic on, then we'd have feedback. Yeah,
then it vanished because it heard me talking about it. It's back again. Okay. Jesus.
Spooky.
Eduardo has shifted things around.
Stop listening to us, computer.
Weirdo. Now it's going to try and sell us cabin air filters.
What's really creepy is like, so not to jump too far into what we're talking about, but on the subject of this, yesterday when I was watching Cobra Kai, I recognized, who was it? The Tori, the new girl.
Uh-huh.
I recognized her from some Disney type show that I had seen with Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I've seen this person before, but I don't know where I've seen this girl before. And so I literally pulled up my phone and started to type in Cobra Kai 2 season 2 cast.
Mm-hmm.
And all I had to type in was COB.
Mm-hmm.
And it knew that I wanted.
Well, the part Cobra of Kai that season 2 is it's listening to you.
Yeah.
And part of it is it was the top
watch thing. So it's going to autofill stuff that's like popular.
Dude, in that Jenny. Okay. So this hasn't popped. Yeah. God bless. And I just want to say this, as much as I hate our society and as much as I hate so much of the world right now, I am so happy that we live in the age of YouTube because you can literally learn how to fucking do anything.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't even go to wood shop in high school, and I learned how to completely sand, refinish, and stain a dresser just from like three This Old House YouTube videos, and it looks badass.
Was that Bob Vila?
That was his show, but these videos didn't have.
I learned how to make floors not squeak from that guy.
Dude, yeah, it's fucking amazing. I love YouTube.
It's way too much work for me to do and not pay someone else to do because I'm fucking lazy.
Stupid shit, but there is so much useful information on YouTube.
As long as we're dropping stuff from life.
Yeah. Drop away.
Mara started preschool today.
Yeah, I was going to say Annabelle started preschool here just the other day, too.
I dropped her off this morning. Jenny and I went and dropped her off. And then I came to pick her up, and they brought me the wrong child. Like, I mean, it was a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl. So, you know.
Just take her.
Oh, but man.
This little girl had masking tape on her back that said Mara. She had my daughter's jacket and her binky. And they'd been calling her Mara all day. They'd been calling Mara Stella all day. I assume like, Stella! Like a little streetcar. And I'm like, did you do some plastic surgery? And the lady's like, what? I was like, that's not my daughter. What do you mean? I was like, that's not Mara Huddleston.
I mean, that's like, a different human than the one I'm here to pick up.
That's not who got out of my car when I dropped her off this morning. And in this day and age where you can sell kids to the Maxwell woman and that Epstein dude.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's really bad timing.
Luckily, that little girl's mom was standing like next in line behind me.
Oh, no kidding.
And was like, is this stuff your daughter's stuff? Because my daughter hasn't used a binky since she was 4 months old. She carries spoons around and chews on them, like, right on, Stella. And I was like, yeah, that's Mara's stuff. But that's not Mara.
She's got a new nickname now out of the deal, though. She'll be Stella probably till the day we die now.
So the lady comes back with Mars, and Mars is just covered in food because that's how Mara is. She's my little bottomless pit. Aren't you, sweetheart? I know you're watching. And she's like, hi, Dad, and wanders over to me. And then she says, Emma, Papa. And then she just says, Amy, which is my sister. I was like, yeah, we're in Clarkston, but I'm not gonna, Aunt Amy's at work. I can't like take you over to her house right now. So anyway, yeah, I got the wrong kid today. It was weird.
Just taken her, man.
You know,
should have just tossed her in the trunk.
Then came back for your kid.
Called up Maxwell. Like, hey, Ghislaine, I know you're in prison, but I got one for you.
You could have really freaked the other parents out and like,
I got one scene. Of these.
Just picked
kids.
The kid up over your head and been like, whose kid is this?
I offer you as tribute.
I've got yours. Who the fuck's got mine?
Where's mine? I want to make a deal. Let's make a trade. No, yeah, not a heartening start.
No, back to school. My daughter Annabelle started preschool for the first time. She goes 3 times a week and she absolutely loves it. My son is back in school in Clarkston, which is really interesting because he only goes for 2.5 hours a day, 4 times a week. And he has to wear a mask the whole time that he's there.
Wow.
Which is really interesting, but I'm not here to talk about COVID.
I was the only parent without a mask on. It was awesome. I felt like a god. It's, like all these people just terrified. Like, fuck you, fucking coward.
I don't
put your fucking muzzle on.
I don't think I've seen a person now. Let's see. I dropped Matthew off at school because, for one, it's nice to still be able to do it. Well, I can before he's too fucking old for me to allow me to do it.
Yeah.
And for two, it's on the way to dropping Annabelle off at school because he goes at 12:30 and she goes at 1. But I, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I've seen a parent there making a drop off or a pickup wearing a mask now. And now that I'm racking my brain for it.
So it's not mandatory in Washington anymore?
It's mandatory if you're inside a business, but it's not mandatory if you're like just out in public. Like I saw something online, which of course is the most accurate place to get your news.
Yeah.
But I saw something online that was saying that the Pullman PD was going to be really cracked down on people. Like even if you were just out walking on the fucking sidewalk, they were going to cite you if you didn't have a mask on.
Those people can lick my fucking ass.
Right. Like no, sorry. No,
I'm not signing your ticket. I'm not even recognizing your authority at this point. You're a joke.
But
officer douche.
In Clarkston, I haven't really seen that. I mean, of course you still see, God bless them. More power to you folks. If there's any of you that are listening, yes, definitely wear your mask when you're driving alone in your car. You're doing the world a favor. Keep it up.
I love you and your oxygen deprived brain. You fucking monkey.
Wear it just around, like take it and wear it, but then just like leave the car running and then kind of like stick the end of it over your muffler before the muffler gets too hot, because you don't want to burn your face.
No, see, the trick is you keep the mask on and you run the garden hose from the muffler into your back window, which is cracked down, and you just drive around like that.
Tuck a towel in there.
It's scientifically proven. I read an article on Facebook.
It'll cure the COVID.
No, it cancels it out.
Oh.
Yeah. It's if you've ever had the extreme fortune, as I have, of working with the public and having someone tell you, no, I'm not worried about it, I'm immune. That's how you get immune, is you drive around and breathe in your own fucking exhaust until you're that stupid.
There's enough people out there sniffing their own farts. I'm sure that car exhaust won't hurt them.
I no joke, man. My friend Gary and I were having a conversation about it just the other day, because he's an artist, like an actual, he gets paid to
art,
like trading card things. Like, he's really fucking talented and I admire the shit out of him, but he works at home by contract for like companies like Topps and stuff like that, and he has not worked with the general public in like over a decade.
Yeah.
And even before then he didn't really work with them a lot, so he is trying to understand this like massive disparity of idiocy in our country. And like, his argument is always, why is there such a big gap between the average person and the idiots that you see? And what I keep trying to explain to him is, no, there is a much smaller gap between the idiots that you see and the average person than there is between the average person and the actual informed person. He has this like weird misconception that your average person, I've used the Carlin quote on him twice. Imagine how dumb the average person is, and then realize half of them are dumber than that. I've told him that twice, and literally, I shit you not, 2 days ago when he posted something on Facebook about it, somebody else who has no idea that we had these conversations referenced that exact same quote of, dude, you have to understand, you don't deal with people, so you don't see what the rest of us see.
The beard and I were talking about that.
You even get that to a lesser extent. You're better with people than he is. But I mean, in terms of working with the general public and interacting with the general public, you are not what I would consider the norm of your daily interactions with just anybody on the street.
No.
You don't have to deal with people nearly as often as Warder I do.
No, God, no. I don't have to deal with people almost at all. I don't want to.
God bless you. Fuck. I want to get there.
No, I deal with an ingenious nearly 2-year-old.
Right.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
No, I had a man. This is a good story. So I had a gentleman come in to Canna for Life and explain to me how he didn't need a mask and he wasn't worried about all that COVID nonsense because he had talked to his doctor, and I'm this is not me direct quoting, but a couple of these little fragments of it are direct quotes. He said he wasn't worried about getting it. He had spoken to his doctor because of the fact that he had been bitten by a rat previously. He was immune, but that people didn't need to be so worried about their masks because he had been told that if you sat down on something like a park bench or a chair, the perspiration from your ass would I'm not fucking joking here, man. The perspiration from your ass would transfer the virus to the next person who sat down. And I said to this guy,
is there a time limit on this?
I said to this guy straight faced, I said, dude, if your ass is that wet, you have bigger problems than COVID. And he just stared, like he didn't understand. He's genuinely full blown convinced that this is a real thing.
His rat bites got him covered.
Yeah. Something.
I should be all right. I got bit by a stripper in Vegas once.
Yeah.
I should be just fine.
Same thing as a rat. So.
That's not true.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Other than school, I don't really have much new in my life at the moment. Football starts on Thursday, but Derek's not here to talk about the sports program. Go, Derek. I love you.
Yeah.
I will have to come on the show though, so that we can talk football now that football's actually back.
Was like 3 days from now?
Thursday night.
So it's supposed to be a big deal.
It is being played. They're playing it.
Kansas City versus Houston.
Wow.
And then there's games. Actually, football trivia fact that probably only interests me. Sunday, when the Bucks play the Saints, meaning Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, it'll be the first time in the history of the NFL that two starting quarterbacks were over the age of 40 playing against each other, from what I saw on a Twitter post today.
Wow.
So, that's
and what's going to be really interesting is the Saints are probably going to fucking trounce them, and Tom Brady's going to come out in his premiere of Tampa Bay and get slaughtered by the Saints.
So how old was Joe Montana? Like, he just, like, when he retired, he was probably late 30s.
I think he was, I want to say either 36 or 39.
But when I was a kid watching him, I'm like, God, that dude's like 60. Like your concept of what age is really out of whack.
Montana wasn't one that got me that way. Terry Bradshaw was one. Yeah.
I can't stand that fucking dude.
Because I still like watching him play football because he was a great quarterback. I think he's irritating as an announcer. But I grew up watching a lot of those old Steelers games and stuff. Like, that's one of the reasons why I'm a Steelers fan. And, you know, he had the Hulk Hogan style early onset baldness. And, like, I got that totally from him of, like, dude, how fucking old is this guy?
Yeah.
But I didn't get that so much from Joe Montana. Jim Kelly was kind of that way. He was another one that was big when I was a kid that I was like, dude, is Jim Kelly like 50?
I think it's just those guys always look older. When you're a kid, you just think that somebody's older than they actually are. You look at like Brady though, he doesn't look that old. Looks
or Alec Guinness.
He looks older now, but he doesn't look.
He's still like in the face. He doesn't look terribly different now than he did fucking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
So it's weird how you view a person.
I'll never forget
when you view them on your,
remember when Randy Orton won the world title for the very first time. And the very first thing we said was, Rick, Randy Orton's the WWE world champion and he's younger than you. How does that make you feel? Like,
yeah,
that was the first time that I really like put my age in comparison to sports figures.
Yeah.
Of like, 'cause now I look at it and like that, who was that kid that came out and got signed by the Lakers, but then they dumped him because his dad was a douchebag that was like straight out of high school.
Fucking good. And his dad was such a loser.
Yeah. And he was supposed to be like the new Michael Jordan LeBron type guy. This dude was 18. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm fucking twice his age. So I've clearly done something wrong. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
That was that Randy Orton winning that, because he was, what was he, like 23 or 24?
Yeah.
And
I was 23 or 24.
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You zigged when you should have zagged.
Yeah, there's people in careers that you see, you're like, you get to a certain age where you're like, oh, they actually were already in the throes of like having a successful career. I'm in the throes of like just working towards retirement at this point.
Right. Like I haven't been a successful anything in my entire life.
Yeah. CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you become a Jake, CEO?
That's Lonzo Ball. That's who I'm talking about. Thank you. Yes. I don't remember his dad's name, but yeah, Lonzo Ball was the kid's name.
The Ball family.
Another person I can think of that aged, that I aged as a lot older person when I was younger was George Lucas.
Same.
It was that waddle.
Well, yeah.
It's, yeah, and part of it's the neck.
His little turkey neck or bullfrog neck. Yeah,
but this was like the 80s. His movies had come out. And so then I was talking to my parents at one time and he's like, yeah, he wants to make another trilogy. And this was well before, like probably a dozen years before or 10 years before he actually started working on the other trilogy. And I remember saying, like, my parents laughed because I was like, well, you better hurry up because he'll probably die.
Yeah,
or do it before he dies.
I'm sure your parents loved that.
But he's not that
motherfucker. He's 4 years younger than me.
Well, no, I mean, that was just the perception.
No,
he's not that much older than
I had.
What is he, like dad's age?
He's probably 72 now.
Probably 70 by now.
So he's a decade older than dad.
Yeah, but I mean, He's I would have guessed
when but the 30 years ago out, when I was asking, yeah, he was still with his young.
Santa Claus 20 beard.
20 years ago when the prequels came out, I would have guessed he was like 60 or 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't. He aged fast.
Hashtag give George Star Wars back. Fuck Kathleen.
He's talking about it.
I hope they do.
Did you see that article last week?
Yeah. I hope they do it.
Kennedy killed
Star Wars. How do you take one of the biggest, most recognizable brands in the world and make people dislike it?
Oh, I know. Give it to a woman.
Well, what's he going
to
do with it?
Give it to a committee who doesn't have a plan.
What's he going to do with it, though?
He wants to make his original plan.
Who knows?
But with
leave it alone.
The original
Star Wars
set of
I am not six, the first seven,
eight,
person to
or
say
seven,
this,
eight, nine.
Yeah.
Unless you want to bring in something like the Solo movie, which is basically just a fucking heist movie wrapped up in a Star Wars film, or you want to do like The Mandalorian, which is just a Western wrapped up in a Star Wars film. Star Wars is fucking creatively bankrupt.
Yeah.
It's lightsabers and AT-ATs and the Force and the Sith and the Jedi and fuck it. I love Star Wars to death, but they need to just leave it alone unless they actually have something that they want to do with it that matters, like The Mandalorian or something.
They haven't told
Mandalorian
the story.
Is good,
it's
though.
It's great.
And I'm super hyped for the Obi-Wan thing because I'm a big Obi-Wan fan. He's my second favorite Jedi after Qui-Gon.
I would just rather have, like I said, give me Star Wars stories that exist in the Star Wars universe that have fuck all to do with anything that has to do with the Star Wars.
Just movies. Pick a period that hasn't been hit. There's plenty of time in like the said, Old Republic wanna, that they could run with.
They did the Solo movie, and the Solo movie literally could have been about any person in the Star Wars universe. They just elected to make it about Han Solo.
And it was
fun. That
guy
could have not been Han Solo, and that movie still would have been not bad. Mm-hmm. It's not great, but it's not bad. And you look at The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian is Star Wars only in dress-up. The music... The cinematography, the way that it's paced, everything. It is a fucking old school Italian Western in space clothes.
Yeah.
I think I'd watch Solo again before I'd watch any of the new trilogy movies.
I will never watch any of the new trilogy movies again. They did what Game of Thrones did, where they ruined the initial setup by the payoff being so bad. Because now when you go back and watch the setup, you know what comes. So you don't even care about the setup because you know that it's bullshit.
Yeah,
they retroactively ruined the previous stuff.
They kind of did that with Lost too.
Yeah, exactly. Notice
because
the trend?
Because J. I can't. Abrams. Well, yeah,
I think he's trash. I don't like his stuff. It's all like great the first time you watch it because you're so caught up in how fast paced it is.
And
but
just,
it doesn't carry
all the motions. But
none of it carries.
It's
you can't rewatch it.
Mm-mm.
It's something that Stephen King touches on in a couple of his books too, and it's an explanation for why some of his endings are as weak as they are. When you set out to write a story and you don't know what the end is going to be, at the end result the story itself suffers because you're figuring it out as you go, and the stories that stand the test of time, they don't fucking figure it out as they go. They know where they're going to start. You look at Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is a great example because Vince Gilligan's pitch was, I'm going to take this guy who is like fucking Andy Griffith and I'm going to turn him into Scarface. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I'm going to figure that out as I go, but that's going to be my end result. You have to have that definitive end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you do like what Lost did. You contradict yourself over and over again.
Right.
Or you do what the Star Wars movies did, where you just make everything that happened previously not matter.
Right.
Did you watch Justified?
Yes.
Not all of it.
Justified's one. I don't think they had an ending planned.
They didn't have,
but
anything
they had,
planned.
But they, well, yeah, because it didn't start out the same with the same direction. And it was also adapted from Elmore Leonard's
from a short story called Fire in the Hole.
Yeah. So, what they did with it was they created this basically this conflict between Boyd and
Raylan. Hello, Raylan.
That overarched over the whole seven seasons or whatever, but then every season had its villain of the season, which made it great.
Tried to do that.
Dexter
failed.
Dexter did well up through season four, I think.
Up through like Colin Hanks, really.
I
didn't like the Colin Hanks stuff. That's when it fell off. Really, I guess you
Lithgow
could say
was my last favorite.
Once Lithgow was
great
gone.
Season.
Once Lithgow was gone, it was pretty much
which was
Jimmy Smits was all right.
It was just so It just started to get so crazy.
That but belongs on his tombstone.
Jimmy Smits was all right. Except in Sons of Anarchy. He was a high point. He probably saved that toward the end.
But that show was getting so bad by the end that he was a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely. Anyway. What an overcarry.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that show ultimately ended made me have zero interest in the Mayan.
I never watched an episode.
You know what's funny? I missed all of the final season except the final episode because it aired on my birthday. And the minute and a half of lead up of like, this is what you missed last was all I needed to catch up.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know who the cop that was in charge of the town was, but she didn't matter. Like nobody fucking mattered.
The Walking Dead. You can watch the season premiere and the season finale. And as long as before you watch the season finale, you watch the little previously on thing, those are the only two episodes that you have to watch. I put it to the test in, I don't even know what season it was, but the season that the Asian dude died, where they faked out with his death and then he wound up actually dying anyway. I did that with that season because my mom was still watching the show at the time.
His name is Glenn.
Glenn, thank you.
You know what you could also do with The Walking Dead instead of watching The Walking Dead?
Not watch
the back of your eyelids.
Yeah,
you can just nap.
I checked out when the governor showed up.
I still watch
a long time ago,
but
I don't know, halfway through The Farm, really.
Yeah,
like that fucking season.
It was already losing me. But
they're looking for that little girl, and she's in the goddamn barn the whole time, and they have walkers in the barn. Like, what's wrong with you people?
Honestly, once it got out of what's his name's hands. It just slowly.
Darabont.
Yeah. Because he was going at it from a real artistic.
Dude, season one is.
I'm so glad they killed Shane so he could go be the Punisher.
Amongst other things, dude, he's great.
I love John Bernthal.
He's great in everything. He was the best part of The Accountant.
I don't think I saw that.
The one with
I tried to watch it, but I think I kept falling. It's one where he's great, like autistic or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or he's on the spectrum at least. But yeah, him and what's her face? That who's that cute girl from Pitch Perfect?
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah, thank you.
She's on a...
It was a good show. But again, John Bernthal was the best part of the movie. Because Ben Affleck, when he's on. But when he's not, man, he's woof.
I don't like her at all in person. Like I've seen her in interviews and stuff, and she does that like vocal fry shit all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's fucking annoying. Like throw your Pitch Perfect ass in the river.
Every time that I've ever like seen an interview with her or anything, she seems like a very relatable type of person.
I get the feeling,
but
from what I've seen, that seems like an act.
Yeah. I was going to say that could very easily be a facade. She could just be, hey, no, I'll play to my audience. And if I look like you're approachable every girl, then more people, you know, cause that's totally a thing. I mean,
I like a lot of her work though. Like she's a decent enough actress.
She's not bad. That movie she did with Blake Lively,
the one where the
Simple Plan or Simple like Favor or whatever it was, that was supposed to be all like,
I've been meaning to watch that.
Psychological sexual thriller. It was fucking dumb.
Was it?
Like, it was aggressively stupid. It was not good.
It's one of those ones that I put on my list to watch, but I don't want to watch it when I'm going to fall asleep. And so I just end up not watching it.
Yeah, I have a few of those.
Project Power was that way until I watched it. That's fun.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay. I still haven't watched it.
I fucking love Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Jamie Foxx as Rational Man with Shotgun is awesome, and that's what he is.
Okay,
he walks around and just fucking guns people down.
I can get behind that.
And you know, you find out later,
and I really like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, he's good at everything. And the little girl that raps in it, like, I'm not a big rap person, but she raps like a motherfucker. Like, wow, respect. And what else? I don't know, that's about all. It's kind of nifty because people only get like 5 minutes of superpowers every time they take this pill. And if they take too many, they overdose and their body shuts down or their cells catch fire or something. But everybody's got a little Casio that has a 5 minute timer set to it. And they take their pill and do their powers. And nobody knows what their power is going to be till they take the pill. And then after that, like, you can kind of plan your shit from there.
Now, but
there's all kinds of cool like rules to it that I like.
That fucking mic arm.
I fucked with it for 20 minutes today to try. And every time I'd do that, it'd go whoop.
Now, do you get the same powers every time that you take?
Every time.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Do I fly this time? Am I invisible this time? Like, that'd be right. wild.
Yeah. Your shit doesn't change. Okay, okay. But you could have one that just your whole body melts.
Like a bad batch or something? Or like,
no, like your genes just...
fentanyl in that's your power. Power pill?
I think this
is fucking horse tranquilizer.
And this is just the first scene with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's saying that to these kids who are trying to steal it from this girl. And he's like, okay. you don't know. You might get one and you might just explode. You don't know what your power is going to be. And I don't know if he's trying to... If he's just bluffing him.
Okay.
Because nobody actually takes one and just dies. Except the dude who has fire, and then it's because he takes too many and his body just can't handle it.
Oh.
But I assume like somebody could, and you find out later that all of the powers are derived from some sort of animal source. And so like you take it and you manifest some ability that an animal has. And like, I don't know what animal's bulletproof, but that's the one that Joseph Gordon-Levitt got.
Rhinos.
Yeah. Rhinos.
Rhinos. I lost
bears and rhinos anymore. And shit.
You can't hear yourself anymore.
I can hear you just fine.
Can you? Okay.
Yeah.
You sound buttery as ever.
This microphone is fucking trying to nose fuck me in.
It's trying anyway. To bang you out nasally.
Yeah, rhinos are bulletproof, man. Come on.
Kind of.
I mean, read a Spider-Man.
Speaking of rhinos, I fell asleep watching a World's Dangerous Most Dangerous Animals thing yesterday.
Shows.
And rhinos was like the number. That is the one I fell asleep on. But man, they're built like a fucking tank.
Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome. My favorite unicorn is a rhino.
They're wonders like, of nature, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we get to the point or
what's the point? What are we coming on here for?
Well, we were going to talk about Cobra Kai because yes, we all watched
amongst
it.
Amongst other things.
Well, you see my background.
Yeah. You did another terrifying fucking Photoshop with my face in it.
I'm just going to
say. You kind of look like Jeremy Renner.
I always kind of look like Jeremy Renner.
As Hawkeye.
This is no vanity, but I looked a lot better with the actual mohawk that I had as opposed to that one.
Yeah, you rocked that.
I did, man. I was actually proud of it. I didn't keep it for long, but it worked.
It was all right.
I've had worse hair. That's for fucking sure. Which is weird to say, but yeah.
I've had worse than a mohawk. I was a big fan of Hawk, though. I thought he was a good character.
Yeah,
I didn't like him, but I liked the character.
It's one of the things that I'll get to when we talk about the show, but remind me about that and about the strength of the characters, because
So,
I had something that I wanted to discuss.
The writing is consistently good. Are we just going to jump into Cobra Kai then?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Let me...
okay, yeah.
Let me... just give a little like
we're going off book here
refresher. No, so with Cobra Kai, what's interesting is it premiered like a little over 2 years ago,
right?
Yeah,
on YouTube TV, and it did
YouTube
well.
Red,
yeah, YouTube Red. YouTube
now
Red.
YouTube Premium.
Yes,
we're on YouTube, and I would love it if they would throw us some of that premium cash.
So it was good. It ended up being, it was a really good, like it ended up being a good show. And then the second season came and it was enjoyable as well, but not a lot of people saw it. You watched what the first,
The first three episodes when they were free, and it really like episode four, it's like they took the muzzle off LaRusso's wife and she's the best character in the whole show.
Yeah.
She's consistently funny. And in the fourth episode, she drops an F-bomb. She's making dick jokes. She's talking about her husband blowing people because there's a spray painted dick on a billboard. Yeah, it really
turns the corner right there in terms of it's like you can tell what they made to pitch and what they made after they had secured their pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. They knew where they were going
to
land
Of like, are we going to get picked up for broadcast TV and have to keep this PG or are we?
Well, and they're not super fast and loose with all like with F-bombs either.
No, there's probably only three of them.
Maybe three throughout the whole series because they still want your kids to watch.
Right.
There were more in the second season than I, especially at the end. And it wasn't that
the second season had a lot of heightened conflict
Well, and it wasn't even necessarily that there were more F words so much as there was more just general swearing.
Yeah. Right. There was a lot more shits.
Yeah, there was a lot more shits.
And but giggles, really. Again, it was a good show. Like, start to finish, I don't think there's a better thing on television right now.
I have a friend who had access to YouTube Red at the time. And that was how I started to watch it. And then I may or may not have utilized the internet to figure out creative ways to watch the second season. And now I proudly support it via Netflix, very legally and all above board.
All $7 a month that I spend.
No, I do the premium package because I have...
Because you have kids that are old enough to use it?
Well, that and like I have an agreement worked out with my mom where one of us pays Netflix, one of us plays Hulu, and then we all share and everything works out great for everybody. But
everyone's a winner.
I watched season one again, as you said, like 2 years ago when it came out. And then I just watched season two literally in the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm. We watched them all yesterday last night.
Nice.
We finished out one, I think yesterday, and then jumped right into season two. And
it's just roughly 5 hours a season.
It's
a good investment, but worth every minute.
Is it just me, or do the episodes seem to clip by faster than they actually are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time you're like, oh, they're going to show the Cobra Kai image at the end because this is the point that it's going to cut. Like you can tell where they're going to leave things.
The music amps up.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's very soap opera-y, but the time flies by. Like the one that really stuck with me was in season two, when they're doing we are going to talk spoilers at least a little bit here, but I won't be specific.
I probably will. I don't give a fuck about your spoilers.
I was going to say spoiler.
Beware of spoilers.
Spoiler alert. The guy next to me gives zero fucks about spoilers. So
I enjoy things more when I'm spoiled.
You know, it's scientifically shown that people do.
Really?
Yeah. When they know what's coming, it's why people rewatch programs.
It's very rare that I'm average.
That's why I like to go back and rewatch Justified. Because you're not going to remember every little thing. Yeah. And so it's always nice. Like,
and you pick up on it.
Then you're just like, oh, that's a nice surprise. Or,
but you're not so wrapped up in everything that you like miss things because you're on the edge of your seat. Like, oh, fuck. And you miss a couple little subtle things. Yeah.
Or there's a scene coming up and you're like, oh, I'm excited about this scene coming up.
I can understand the science behind it. But, the episode where they're doing the demonstration at Valley Fest, episode is called Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to do, Daniel's going to do the ice breaking thing. And then Cobra Kai shows up and steals the party.
And
he punches through the flaming concrete. That episode, watching it, felt like maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it just fucking clipped by.
Yeah. And Johnny is so much better than Daniel. And I totally buy his version of events.
I love it.
He does the whole
flashback footage of shit.
Yeah.
But from his perspective, it's great.
You see it from that perspective. You can
And we were talking about this. We were talking about this in the chat chat the other day. Because our chat is
like its own fucking show too.
Right.
But we were talking about how in this reality, like karate is the evolution of fighting. There is no MMA mentioned.
Yeah.
There's no other, like karate is it. And these two guys are the best karates ever.
If you are
the best
in the parlance around that we were throwing around, if you're not a pussy and you're a badass, you know karate.
So have you watched the season three trailer?
No, I have not.
Or leaked footage or whatever the fuck?
No, I have not.
Okay. There's a picture of Sato, who is Miyagi's best friend from Karate Kid Part 2. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of him. It's like a poster in the background, but it says he trained the U.S. military. So I think he was the sensei that Terry Silver and John Kreese learned from. Oh. You're hearing it here first, folks. That's my idea.
Oh,
I think Sato is the
that would be interesting.
The genesis of Cobra Kai.
And that's why Kreese always hated Miyagi as much as he did, is maybe they had some kind of weird falling out between Sato, Miyagi, and Kreese.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But no. Sato taught them after Miyagi was gone.
No, I know, but I'm saying maybe there's some kind of mixed situation between the three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Chosen knows where to go, because I'm pretty sure the internet is Titan around that. The dude, whoever stabs that Psy next to Daniel's face, is Chosen from season two.
Well,
or part two.
You know, they just, they've done this really good job of like building this world around a three movie.
It's remarkable. Right. Thing, really, it
and,
really
and Johnny, he wasn't, he was only in the first one.
Yeah, he wasn't in, Hillary Swank was in the third one.
No, the third one was when Daniel joined Cobra
Kai. She was the next Karate Kid.
She was the next Karate Kid.
Oh, that's right.
Did you know Will Smith's a producer?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. I saw that like episode two or three.
His son
I was
did the one with Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Which was, which should have been the Kung Fu Kid.
I've never seen.
Because Jackie Chan knows Kung Fu,
but
he doesn't know karate. If you ever get the chance, there's a video out there where Jackie Chan's on the Graham Norton show, and he's talking about this time that he met the Queen, and this other lady had just told her story of meeting the Queen, and he was like 19 in Hong Kong, and he met the Queen, and he's like, she's so right, like there's, you don't know, my whole mind went blank, and she stopped in front of me and just kept talking to me, and I couldn't think of a word to say to her. I just kept bowing. Jackie Chan. And I was hoping, because Graham Norton had done this, everybody, every time people meet you, they do this Jackie Chan at him, yeah. And he hates it. And I was hoping that when Jackie was telling the story, that eventually he would be like, and then the Queen just went, Jackie Chan. But it didn't go that way.
Something that she would do.
Yeah.
No, so to get back to what you were saying about the strong writing for Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And the world building, the writing, the whoever it is, I don't know if those guys, I can't remember their names off the top of my head now, but the two guys,
there's three of them, and it's, they're all long names.
The two guys that pitched the show, they're the two main ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a third guy with them that, if I remember correctly, does a lot of the writing for
he
it.
Probably
and
did the dialogue.
I'd have to Google it or something, but I don't remember. Those guys, every character in the show is, like, it's on par, in my opinion, with shows like Breaking Bad and early Game of Thrones, where every character is a character.
Right.
They have good points. They have bad points. They are right. They are wrong. They make mistakes. They make the right choices. They are as fucking fleshed out as a character could be. And they do that with even the secondary characters like Hawk and Dimitri. That kid...
Mm-hmm.
They create him so effectively that you, even as a passive audience member who barely see him in the show,
yeah,
cringe the moment that he starts talking.
Because he always says the wrong thing.
Yeah. But he also figures out that sometimes he says the wrong thing. And it is some of the best writing I've seen in a TV show in a long time.
And Johnny is the hero that America needs right now.
Dude, yeah. Yes. Stop being a pussy.
Stop.
I am someone who believes in coddling to an extent.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see me with my kids and know that I feel that way.
You're just saying that because they're watching.
No. No. I'm a big fucking softy. In comparison to my brother here who's sharing the couch with me, I am the softy of the pair.
Oh, agree? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fucking dick.
And even I am like, no, dude, the world, I fucking,
no,
every workplace like, should have somebody with Johnny Lawrence's, dude, Billy Zabka is a badass.
Yeah, he is.
And if you've never watched some of Billy Zabka's movies from like the early 90s and mid 90s that he made after like Python 2 and shit, check him out. He's just as good in those as he is in Cobra Kai.
Really?
He's like this really talented, super believable actor delivering terrible dialogue and terrible movies.
Wow.
But when they give him something to work with, he's actually got some skill.
You know what I hope to see come from this is a career for, and maybe he doesn't want it. Maybe it's not what his goal is, but a career for him after.
Oh, a post Cobra Kai. Yeah, like
something post Cobra Kai. Cause I think he's talented enough.
Resurgence.
He had those movies after Karate Kid where it was like, oh, well, you know, hey, remember the kid from Karate Kid? Yeah, we got him in our B movie.
Now
like,
he fucking right. fights. Pythons.
But they had those
that
B
was
movies.
His career.
I'd rather basically. Him be in like a.
This is a another stepping series. Stone to a real thing.
Yeah,
like something prestigious.
Oh yeah,
very much.
So. I think he's talented enough for it, and I wonder if the exposure that they're getting again from Netflix, because it's like they got the double dip with
they really did
this.
Yeah,
because Netflix just offers a wide, like a way. This was people were just finding it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people didn't even know,
didn't even realize it was
there's
around for 2 years.
Probably not being generous. There's probably 100 Netflix subscriptions for every one fucking YouTube Red subscription.
Yeah.
Like, honestly,
that's being generous too. Like,
really?
Like, who really subscribes to YouTube Premium? There's so much free.
I borrowed a subscription.
I know. Yeah. It's same. I borrowed one. I know somebody that has one, but everybody that I know has Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a person I don't know that doesn't have, like, it used to not be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then as time has gone by, it's like everybody has Netflix now.
Yeah.
But no, the.
And if you don't, your kid does. And by extension, you do.
Your kid does, so you do.
The writing and the characterization is great. I don't like this phrase, but the way that they're able to not entirely subvert your expectations, but you keep thinking that you know where the show is going because it comes across as kind of, it's the only damning thing I could say about it. And I don't even really think that it's a damning thing to say, but it has that very family friendly, what was the TGIF, the ABC TGIF, like the very,
there's a
wholesomeness to it where it's designed that the whole family can sit down and watch it together. And every once in a while, it has that almost kind of heavy handed TGIF after school specialness feeling to it when they really want to get a message home to you, especially when Danny's talking about inclusion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then they completely flip the script and are
to steal a hawk word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And it's brilliant. The way that they're able to do both and have the best of both worlds is really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing I like about Johnny is it's believable that that's where his character
ended up
would land.
Exactly.
And you see a guy and you can almost, he's a relatable character too. He's not someone that's out of like reach from anyone in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the potential for anybody's trajectory to go the way that his did.
Yeah.
And it's not like he totally failed. He's part of the working class. He's working, he's doing odd jobs, trying to like just make ends meet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he peaked in high school.
He peaked in high school and now, and he grew up way too late and now he has a drinking problem and a job problem and a life problem. How many fucking people can you walk down the street and point out that have that?
Tons. Night?
Like, right?
Tons.
Like, it's a very relatable, again, good writing. It's a very human experience. It's all the characters have it, from the bullied kid, Hawk.
And
they call me shit lip.
At first.
Sorry. If I went to school with a kid who had a hair lip, I can guarantee you I probably would have heard someone at some point call him shit lip.
And it probably would have been me.
I didn't really pick on people, so it wouldn't have been me, but I...
Oh no, I'm probably the one you would have heard.
but you know, it's Danny ending up as a car salesman makes total sense.
Yeah, there's probably nowhere else he could have.
Because gone. What else was he gonna do? Yeah.
I posed a theory, and I'm probably wrong, but I was like, his dealership had to come from her family's
money.
See,
and money he got from Miyagi. Yeah,
see, I
think there you go. That could be too.
I think it was both. I think that you're on point with it, but I also think, like, if you follow his trajectory through the movies, he was successful. He wasn't just, you know, in the storyline of the movies when the third movie stops and he's, you know, they carry over 20, 30 years later to Cobra Kai. It's not like he was going to end up in Johnny's position where it's like, oh, Danny used to be this really, really famed karate master, but he, you know, once he grew up and couldn't do karate anymore, he fell on hard times and turned into a drunk piece of shit. That wasn't going to happen to him.
Here's my thing. Okay. He was a 2-time champion of the All Valley under 18 karate, and he was never once,
which is the biggest fucking karate tournament in the world,
Chris. Never once was he under 18 when he won it. His birthday that Miyagi gives him his fucking car in the first movie, I didn't notice this till last time I watched it.
Dude, you're blowing my mind here because it's been a minute
since his birthday was 2 days before. His 18th birthday was 2 days before.
So he was a grown man beating on kids.
And Miyagi stole his belt. And they lied. They lied to get his girlfriend on the mat as Miyagi's translator.
Yeah.
Like their whole thing. Like, and that makes Johnny shit seem that much more legit. Like, I get that this whole series is through the lens of Johnny. So there's lots of 80s references because that's when he peaked. There's lots of just stuff. And you watch it from his thing
in a lot of ways mentally.
And they really, like, cinematography wise, get that across. Like, that was his peak. And maybe that was the peak of this whole world. Cause you see little things and it's like, I mean, they've got dating apps and he tries one out and that's a fucking great episode.
That was great.
Especially when he kicks that dude's ass in the alley. But like, and they say that this next season is going to be like, oh, this dark secret from Miyagi's past. Well, does it have something to do with him fucking lying his whole way through that shit? Because, and is Mike Barnes in part three, is he under 18? Because he's way bigger than Daniel. And the kid that played Daniel was 22 at the time, playing a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of this. The only thing that I can say is I hope they've done a really good job of not doing it yet. I hope if they go that route, I hope that they don't undermine the previous movies. If you're going to bring up something dark from Mr. Miyagi's past, it can't be that dark.
Yeah, don't trash it. Don't be like, he got his Medal of Honor for killing 8,000 Germans in a concentration camp that he built because his wife died in one.
If it's like, if it's dark, it's got to be a redeemable dark. So it's like something that's like, yeah, it was dark, but I had a good reason. Yeah. Or I had a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did a story once when I was working public affairs for the Army about the unit that Mr. Miyagi was in, because it was the something anniversary when I was working out there, and they were one of the most highly decorated units ever, and they were all Japanese dudes. There's a highway named after one of them in Hawaii.
Huh.
Like the
interesting.
He was called Sparky or something, but like all of these people were fighting for the American side while their families were in internment camps. And they sent them all to Europe, I think, specifically. It's been a while since I wrote the article, and most of my Army shit is completely out of my mind. But they were hugely decorated. There were more medals of honor, I think, in that particular unit than any other unit in World War II. Not definitely, but I'm pretty sure they were.
Huh.
And, you know, there were some whose, you know, wives died in childbirth for lack of a doctor in one of our internment camps.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up, but that's real history.
The internment camps were the subject of that season two of The Terror on AMC.
No kidding.
Yeah. Great show. If you haven't watched it.
Yeah. There's all,
I've been meaning to.
Season one is like spooky good shit. There's a cool actual like spiritual Wendigo monster and cool like Eskimo Inuit type mythology tied into it. The whole thing centers around this old, I want to say it's in probably like the 14 or 1500s ship trying to sail through an ice passage. And the ship that they're on is called the Terror. And like Jared Harris is in it, and Siri Hinds is in it.
He's one of my favorite, like ever.
It is, it's spooky and very well done. And
you want to see
substantially better than the second season.
I'll give you three examples of Jared Harris roles and why he's one of the best actors ever. Watch Benjamin Button.
Yep.
Then watch his time on Mad Men, and then watch him play Dr. Moriarty.
I was going to say Moriarty he's
fucking, there's not three more completely different people, and he plays each one of them convincingly.
Look at his dad.
Oh, yeah. Richard?
His dad was super talented.
Best too. Marcus Aurelius on screen.
His dad was insanely talented.
Yeah. Oh, and when he was in Count of Monte Cristo?
Yup.
Yeah, it was way better than that sandwiches.
That was a good movie.
It was.
But that was, dude, it was so sad to see Jim Caviezel get
blackballed.
I mean, basically, I don't know who he pissed off. Aside from the fact that he decided to play Jesus.
He played Jesus. That's it.
But
you know, he was the MiG pilot in Top Gun.
Really? Really?
You never get to see his face. I saw it once watching the credits roll. This is James Caviezel.
Did not know that.
Him and one other dude were the MiG pilots. I thought that was awesome.
If you go to, if you want to support us in some way, you can go to patreon.com/timespentpoorly. If you want to get on board with all of our social networks, go to timespentpoorly.com and you can subscribe right there. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and more. Watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, and Facebook every 2 weeks when we come on live and do these shows. The audio version is a great way to listen to the show, but if you want to interact with us, definitely check in live when we're live and chat in while we're talking about all the nonsense that we talk about. We had some fun this episode, so thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you next time. I've got old Huds at Huds Magruder here on my left. Have to learn my left and right again. And
you do.
Good old brother Ron has joined us for this episode. We've had a great extensive talk about a lot of things. I won't go into what, because we're going to break this up into many. I'll tell you a secret, audio listeners. We break these episodes up into multiple episodes. So try and figure that one out. Anyway, thanks again for joining us. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Huds.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a beautiful time.
And thanks to the three who are still watching.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging in there.
I admire you.
It is late. Go to bed. Thank you so much.
You're clearly gluttons for punishment.
Punishment. He must be punished.
Time's been poorly enough. Calm. Calm. Not fun. Calm. C-O-M.
Calm. Like commie.
Time spent poorly.
That was a waste of time.
Yep.